Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We are doing a Danny Rick deep dive episode today. We have to. So we have lots to talk about. We're going to jump right into this because it deserves the time that it deserves. But really quick reminder to rate and review the podcast. And also, as we near the end of the season, let us know what kinds of episodes and content you'd like to see in the off season. You can Instagram us or you can email us at itspaddockproject@gmail.com. So it's going to be really fun. And we have Austin in a couple weeks. Lots going on. But let's jump into this. I'm Chessa.
And I'm Tiggy. I can't believe we're already talking about the end of the season. That feels wrong, but it's coming. It's approaching. We only have a handful of races left. But Daniel Ricciardo, we all saw the news a couple weeks ago or last week. I don't know, whatever time it was.
It's been
it's been a year and also no time at all. But it kind of felt like it set the F1 world on fire now that it's official. But on the off chance that you didn't hear the news, about 2 weeks ago now, Daniel Ricciardo will not be racing for the rest of the season for VCARB and was somewhat unceremoniously replaced by Liam Lawson for the rest of the season. We did do a Daniel Ricciardo deep dive back in our very first season of this podcast, which is crazy, but I feel like we need to bring it back and also talk about Daniel's last couple years since we have a lot of thoughts. But we'll start from the beginning, cover all the Daniel Ricciardo history, and of course, we will close out with our thoughts on how he left, what we hope to see from him next. One thing we'll just say before we start this is Daniel Ricciardo is still very much alive and well as a human being. I think a lot of people were like, did Daniel Ricciardo die? Like, everybody is treating this like he is no longer on this earth. And he very much is. He is just no longer an F1 driver for now.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Danny has spent a decade in F1, so there's a lot to unpack. And despite his youthful energy and really excellent vibes, he's actually one of the most experienced drivers on the grid. He's in the top 10 list of all time in terms of number of Grand Prix. So he's done 257 races. His career has spanned across 14 seasons, 7 different constructors. He's had 8 wins in F1, 3 pole positions, 32 podiums. And he's got 17 fastest laps throughout his career with, ironically, unironically, I don't know, the last one being the final or the fastest lap in Singapore in his last race. So take that as you will.
And driver of the day. We'll take that.
Yeah.
So Daniel, if we rewind all the way to the beginning, born in Perth, Australia in 1989, he shares that with Taylor Swift, not the Perth part, but the 1989 part. He has lived in Monaco for about 10 years, ever since he made his F1 debut at the age of 22. His dad is actually Italian and was a, quote, weekend warrior kart racer. So I guess not professional, but definitely someone who it was maybe more than a hobby. In 1998, so around 9, 10 years old, he began karting. And when he got his karting license, he was assigned the racing number 3 after his favorite racer at the time, Dale Earnhardt. And he still has that number. So very sweet origin story there.
I love that. In 2007, Danny began moving up in the world. He moved to Italy to compete in the Formula Renault 2.0 Italian Series. Then 2 years later, in 2009, he won the British F3 Championship and drove his first F1 laps at the Young Driver Test in Jerez, which is in Spain, I believe, for Red Bull Racing. And in terms of when he actually made his debut in F1, that was in 2011 at the British GP with the Hispania Racing Team as kind of like a part of a deal with Red Bull Racing, where he was test driver under the now VCARB old Toro Rosso team. So he was basically the Red Bull junior team. And then in 2012, he graduated. I love to call it graduating, like you graduate from VCARB or Toro Rosso at the time. And he joined that team for 2 seasons in 2012.
And little did he know he would be coming full circle, basically. But before we get to that, in 2014, he was promoted to Red Bull as a replacement for Mark Webber, who had retired and raced alongside none other than Sebastian Vettel. It's sort of undisputed that the 2014 to 2018 era when he was at Red Bull were his peak years. He won 7 of the 8 races total that he's won during that time. In 2014, he had his first 3 F1 wins, first in Canada, then Hungary, then Belgium. He finished 3rd in the Drivers' Championship behind the Mercedes drivers at the time. And he outperformed Vettel, who was the 4-time Red Bull champion. So Vettel came 5th in the Drivers' Championship, and Danny finished 71 points ahead of him. And this is sort of when Vettel was in his prime. He had been world champion from 2009 to 2013. And so it started a narrative of Daniel being a really top young talent in the sport and potentially future world championship material.
In 2015, Vettel left Red Bull to go to Ferrari. Daniel Kvyat came to Red Bull. Red Bull really struggled at the time. They had a Renault power unit, had a really bad season. Danny ended up 8th in the Drivers' Championship, but he did he got beat by Kvyat just by a few points. So Danny didn't really live up to the hype as being the next Red Bull guy who managed to beat the reigning world champion. All of that, I think it just goes to show that you can be the best driver and like have all this hype around you. And sometimes if your car ain't it, and you can't fight that. But in 2016, things got a little bit better. He was 3rd again in the championship, and he was the only driver to finish all 21 races at the time while they've kept adding races. This is also the time for a pop culture moment that the shoey that he does that hit mainstream culture in Australia. He was P2 on the podium for his 100th race in Germany, and he drank champagne out of his shoe. It was a whole thing. And then, Tiggy, take us through what happened in 2016, because that was a big moment.
It was the arrival of none other than Max Verstappen. So Daniel Kvyat gets demoted mid-season. Red Bull has a little bit of a history with this, as we have seen over the past many years. But Max then gets promoted from Toro Rosso. And in his first race, he becomes the youngest ever F1 race winner at 18. And as a side note, you should definitely watch the 2016 Spanish Grand Prix press conference where F1, in their typical savagery, sat Max and Daniel Kvyat next to each other. So that's crazy.
And also there's things like this. There's so much other tea beyond just the driver's seat.
Yes. Which as we know. Max and Penelope. Well, we all know Max and Penelope's love story, but Penelope is Daniel Kvyat's daughter. So the narrative at the time was probably something like, Daniel's the number one driver, is going to teach this young kid how to do things. Then Max shows up and is just amazing and blows everyone out of the water. And Christian started really hyping Max and said he is now one of the most exciting things in the sport. So Christian sort of knew that Max was the real deal from the start. And they had a big fight in Malaysia in 2016 and managed to race wheel to wheel. This is Daniel and Max without crashing, which is a great feat, especially at that time. But yeah, I think it was, I don't know if you call it unlucky, but I guess you only have once in a generation talents come along every so often. And so the fact that it was Max when Daniel was sort of touted as the Red Bull guy and the next big thing does feel sort of like bad luck for him.
Bad luck, for like a fluke, like you said, that just like once in a generation. So in 2017, though, Danny still beat Max in the Drivers' Championship, but it got pretty close. And that's kind of when the whole relationship started to deteriorate. So at the Hungary race that year, Max wrecked Danny in a lap one incident, admitted it was his fault. Danny had a sort of spicy radio moment about Max. And then 2018, things continued to go downhill. Max ended up beating Danny this time in the Drivers' Championship by 79 points. Tensions, I think this was the moment where they really started to boil over. Danny felt like the team was becoming Team Max, which obviously we saw it kind of did. And they were prioritizing Max as their young rising star. And Danny, being 8 years older, really just did not want to be a number two driver. So this was the year of the infamous Baku incident where they wrecked each other. And that made it really tough. But I would say for 2018, like this was – it wasn't like Max was totally just like wiping the floor with Danny. They did have an equal number of wins at 3 each during their 3 seasons together. Danny had more podiums and more fastest laps, but I think that was probably just like the sentiment of the team and the organization. Danny probably just felt like, okay, he saw the writing on the wall, if you will.
Which leads to one of the most surprising moves, I feel like, in recent F1 history, which is Daniel then going to Renault, of all places. And for context, Renault is now Alpine. Christian very publicly expressed that he thought this was a bad idea. Christian said that Daniel turned down a stratospheric offer to stay at Red Bull, that Christian had really tried to get him to stay. And as we mentioned, Renault was the source of the bad Red Bull engine for a while. So it does end up, unfortunately, being bad timing because Daniel had doubts about Red Bull switching to Honda power from Renault. But then, as we all now know, Honda power ended up bringing Red Bull back to the top while Renault kept being less than stellar. And so it's kind of well accepted to everyone that Daniel, because he didn't want to become a number two driver, made this move to Renault, but it wasn't necessarily a good move. And I think looking back now at his career, this might have been the point where it was sort of the beginning of the end, since after this, he basically struggled in the midfield, had a few bright moments like his 2021 Monza victory, but yeah, he never was able to regain the form that he saw at Red Bull. And who knows what would have happened if he stayed. But yeah, this was definitely a controversial, controversial move.
He probably lays in bed thinking about that all the time. It's got to be rough. Horrible. So to fast forward, actually not to fast forward, the next year. So 2019 to 2020, this was when he was at Renault alongside Hülkenberg in 2019, Ocon in 2020. In 2020, it was actually pretty good. He got Renault's first podium finish in 9 years. But then besides that, yeah, just generally didn't do very well at Renault. Wasn't a great car. So for 2021, McLaren offered him a ton of money to leave Renault to race alongside Lando. I think this was also, you know, you can talk. It's like Danny's career is like it started with the car being really, really good. And then when he was in worse cars, at least it kind of coincided with the rise of Drive to Survive and like his whole character there, which we'll talk about. So at least he had that going for him, because when he went to McLaren, he really struggled to adapt to the car. They had spent a ton of money on his contract. He is one of the highest paid drivers, and or at least was at the time. And they saw him as a huge acquisition and then struggled way more than they expected. And honestly, Lando just beat him pretty solidly in a lot of races, even lapped him in Monaco, and allegedly may have sarcastically waved at him as he passed. Lando, of course, denies it, but honestly, who knows? And I think with the whole age gap, Daniel did seem just a lot older compared to Lando. He did for McLaren, though, get the team's first win since they had a win in Brazil in 2012 when he won the Italian Grand Prix in Monza. That's when him and Zach got the matching tattoos. So there was a few bright spots, but overall it was not the best time at McLaren, except for the fact that like he did kind of become this huge personality that became synonymous with the brand of McLaren. I think McLaren still reaps a lot of those benefits today. But in 2022, Lando beat him by nearly 100 points, and McLaren decided sort of enough was enough. They bought him out of his contract after the 2022 season ended. There are so many reasons to learn a new language, but our favorite is for traveling. Of course, we travel all the time for F1 races, but also just for personal and fun travel as well. And we always like to feel better equipped when heading to a new country. When it comes to race weekends and the logistics, knowing the language really, really helps. But also just knowing the language helps us deepen our cultural appreciation for new places. So even if you're not traveling anytime soon, it can be a fun hobby that actually has lots of studied cognitive benefits. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program and the perfect place to start. With over 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered, Rosetta Stone is the place to learn a language fast. It's designed for fast language acquisition and long-term retention. Plus, with their app, it's super convenient to learn. So don't put off learning that new language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Paddock Project listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1AreTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply.
Women's health is really, really important to us, and we think that balanced hormones really play a key role in that. One thing that we've been loving is the supplement Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, and that's a company that's committed to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, science-backed herbal extracts that help the body adapt to stressors like hormone changes that can happen naturally throughout a woman's life. We love it because it helps us maintain optimal hormone levels and supports our mood and general well-being, especially in our crazy day-to-day times. There is a reason that Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1AreTheGirls for 15% off today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So tough. And then that brings us to the most recent era, which is V-Carb. He did return to the Red Bull family as a team ambassador in 2023. And then in another Red Bull midseason move, Daniel joined V-Carb to replace Nyck de Vries. But as we sort of alluded to, things never really turned around for him. He was put in that car after doing a test lap at Silverstone, where Christian has the sort of famous quote of being like, that lap would have matched or beat Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody was super jazzed about and like, Daniel's back, but it never really came to fruition. And so this year, unfortunately, Yuki has nearly doubled Daniel's points tally. So Yuki has 22, Daniel has 12. And it brings us to the sort of Singapore send-off or lack thereof, which was so tough. And we've talked about this a lot on, you know, the recap and other episodes. But I think it was just the way they handled it was unnecessary and quite sad. Like, it seemed that this was sort of a done deal for a couple weeks at least. And so to not signal to everyone or make a public announcement that it was his last race and give him the moment he deserved was pretty tough.
Yeah, it was brutal. I think what makes it especially hard or ironic for the situation is that Singapore is actually one of his best circuits in terms of the circuits where he scored the most overall points. He's gotten 89 points at Singapore over his career, and it just seems like kind of ironic. And also the fact that it was just one race before Coda, which is his favorite race.
I know.
It's like insult to injury and then even beyond that. And so I don't like how it was handled, because it's not like he was just sort of like this random driver who had been a rookie for a year or two and just never really performed. And then, you know, they just like shush him out, like as kind of like they did for Nyck de Vries. And like, no bad blood with Nyck de Vries, right? But it was kind of like, okay, you were a rookie, you didn't really perform, like bada bing, bada boom, we're moving on. Like, to literally act that exact same way and do the exact same thing for Danny was like, it's so messed up because of his illustrious career, which we've just discussed. And also, like, he's been a part of the Red Bull family for a long time. And it just – I don't – why do you think it happened this way? Like, it just seems like everything why – like, it's so obvious that they should have just done a better job at it. Like, why do they do it this way?
I have no idea. I feel like maybe maybe there was a chance they were hoping for like a glimmer of excellence in Singapore and they were just waiting to make the absolute final decision that weekend. But it really did seem like it was a done deal before that. But I don't know, maybe they were waiting for Singapore to be the final nail in the coffin and wanted to announce it over a break, a long break in the schedule where people could kind of like yeah. ride the wave of that news and then go into Austin fresh. It's hard to say, but I don't think there's any good reason for the way they handled it, to be honest.
The only thing that would make me feel like a little bit better is if, I don't know, it's giving like James Vowles with Logan Sargent being like, we're giving him every opportunity he can to stay. Like, we really want to see him succeed. And they were just like trying to eke out one more chance for him. But if it was yeah. kind of a done deal, it feels pretty rough.
So brutal. But before we get into what we think he's doing next and all of that, let's just talk about a couple really quick things. I think off the track, super active person overall, personality, obsessed with dirt bikes, motorbikes, loves doing that in his free time. He has said he's tried to see more of the world when he travels instead of just going from the hotel to the track and back. And I feel like we see that yeah. reflected sometimes in his Daniel.jpg account. we've talked about this before, but he's also best friends with Scotty James, who is the Red Bull snowboarder, brother-in-law to none other than Lance Stroll. But yeah, I feel like he's involved in a lot of things. He loves the Buffalo Bills. He's obviously got his Enchanté line. So Daniel has his hands in a lot of different things.
And yeah, I mean, like, he is this big personality. Everyone feels like they know him and he's super outspoken, at least, you know, especially in Drive to Survive. But actually on his personal life, he keeps things pretty much under wraps. It's been a little bit more, you know, public lately. He has a girlfriend named Heidi Berger, who I think lives in New York. We saw them once at brunch. That was funny. She's from Monaco and the daughter of the former F1 driver Gerard Berger, which is very interesting. And like Tiggy said, he has the amazing merch line Enchanté. It's so fun. They had like, I think Kristen Bell do an ad for them last year. Like, he just gets really creative with it and they're doing a really good job with it. So maybe I could see this becoming sort of like a larger focus or part of his future.
So just to talk about some of his general impact on the sport and what he has done, we're American. People in America love him. He is all in for the Austin Grand Prix, has a killer personality, definitely knows how to play up his fame and his brand. He loves American sports. We mentioned the Buffalo Bills. He's so famous here that he said he once had more PR and press requests for his time in Miami than at his home race in Melbourne, which wow. is crazy. GQ has called him America's first Formula One superstar, said that he basically, quote, won Drive to Survive. And we think it's because he just doesn't seem to take anything too seriously. People really like that. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's just such an engaging and exciting person to follow who just seems very earnest, which I think can be super rare in Formula One, where a lot of people are kind of jaded or yeah. heavily PR-ified.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was interesting. Like when Drive to Survive first came out, Mercedes and Ferrari refused to participate in the series. We've had different drivers refuse at different times. And just enter Daniel Ricciardo, who captures the hearts of millions, just like shows up, is so just electric as a personality. And now Netflix gives him dedicated storylines. He's the most recognizable driver in America. And I just think a lot of that is really genuine. It doesn't feel yeah, fabricated.
100%. And I think that's what's so refreshing about it. And I think hopefully he can, I don't want to like cash in on that or bank on that, but I think that will help him in his future. So what do we think he will do next? When we talked about it in 2022, these were some of our predictions from that episode. We said compound in LA with a dirt bike track, ranch in Texas, and apartment in New York, which does sound like the life. But I think we hope that for now he will still be active in the F1 and general racing world. He was speaking to the media at the Singapore Grand Prix. This was before the announcement was made. Everything was just rumors, but obviously it felt very final. And someone asked him if racing competitively needed to be at the center of his focus going forward and whatever next chapter he does. And he said, quote, it's hard even talking about just being in the sport and maybe fighting for 10th place every now and then. I think he just felt really discouraged. And there have been rumors that maybe he would go to Indy or other series. But he did make a really good point in an interview that he's already been to the mountaintop, if you will. Like, he's already achieved the best. He's been to the creme de la creme, which is F1. And there's no guarantee that going to another series would provide that same level of fulfillment for him. So it might kind of feel not genuine. But what do we want to see him do? I personally think he's so likable and such a personality that he could capitalize on that and do TV stuff and potentially do a side hustle investing in the Bills. But who knows?
I think it would feel weird for me to see him in another series. I think to the point of F1 being the pinnacle. It's not that drivers can't go to other series, but having such a long and storied career, a decade in F1, and then going to something else, like, you'd really just have to love racing at its core.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I just feel like he has so many other things going for him and other opportunities out there that I think I would like to see him retain a role in F1 somehow, not a driver role, but maybe some way to become a commentator. I don't know about a team principal, but like a commentator doing something like David Coulthard or Julian Palmer. Like, I feel like he would be so good at being a personality in the sport. And then also I want him to full send America. He's talked about wanting to have a ranch here
and
do other things. Like we've talked about, he loves the Buffalo Bills. Like, I could see him indexing more on the entertainment and personality side of things versus like core racing, which I think makes sense.
Didn't he do, when he wasn't racing, I want to say last year in Austin, no, not last year, maybe the year before that, he did some sort of live broadcast with Dak Shepard, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
It was remote, and it felt kind of weird. And
Will Arnett, too.
Yeah. So that one like wasn't ideal because I think it was just like a little bit logistically clunky, but he's already dipped his toe into that water. You might as well dive on in.
Send it, Daniel. We would love to see that. You know what I want to see him do? I want to see him single-handedly run the kids broadcast in F1. I want it to be F1 kids broadcast by Daniel Ricciardo.
We're going to clip that. That's actually so funny. I love that. Well, with that, I hope you have all enjoyed sitting here. Yeah, this was not a funeral for Daniel Ricciardo. He's still alive. He's going to do amazing things. But I hope you enjoyed our remembrance of him and our deep dive on him. And we can't wait to see what else he does next.